This evening, we shall study together the second epistle of Paul, the apostle, to Timothy, chapter 4. Let us read together from verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with purpose, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Verse 22. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, we have just arrived at the last chapter of the second epistle of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. And obviously, this was the last letter that the Apostle Paul had written to his precious spiritual son, Timothy, simply because the Apostle Paul was about to be executed by King Nero, and ultimately departed from the temporal unto eternity, isn't it? But nonetheless, in this particular chapter, we shall learn the most precious lessons, as well as the final words that the Apostle Paul had left unto Timothy, his spiritual son. And obviously, these are also the words of encouragement for all of us today as God's children to take after the footsteps of the Apostle Paul when he mentioned in verse 7 as follows, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So you see, my dearly beloved, these verses that I've just shared with you contains one of the most precious spiritual lessons for you and I today to realize that ultimately we've got to be victorious in our spiritual journey. And just as the Apostle Paul, who had fought a good fight and kept the faith, as well as finished his course, we must also journey victoriously so that someday, when the Apostle Paul received a crown of righteousness, we too, as God's children, would likewise receive our share of the crown of life and righteousness, isn't it? Nonetheless, let us begin once again to dissect the detail of the spiritual lessons that we must learn from this chapter. Verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, my dearly beloved, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul reminded Timothy of the very fact that someday our Lord Jesus Christ will judge both the living as well as the dead when he appears again for the second time and return to the earth so as to redeem the bride of Christ. And the very moment our Lord Jesus Christ return in mid-air, each and every one of us that are genuinely born again of the Spirit of God would be raptured and would meet our Master in mid-air as well as in the judgment seat of Christ, as written in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, by the Apostle Paul himself, that says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, as written in verse 9 as well. So you see, my dearly beloved, As Christians, once born again of the Spirit of God, we've got to realize that we have just entered the spiritual journey along the narrow path of the cross, and that we've got to run diligently and quickly, being ready at all times to give the very best account unto our Master, as someday our Lord Jesus Christ would judge us and require us to be faithful in all that we do, as well as in the talents that He has given us. For that reason, the parable, as written in Matthew chapter 25 and mentioned by our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, tells us of the very fact that as the 2 talent and the 5 talent servants are found faithful, the 1 talent servant who had buried his talent in the earth end up as the wicked and slothful servant that ultimately, during the judgment seat of Christ, would be deleted, as he was not found faithful unto our Lord God. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ judged the wicked and the slothful servant, being the 1 talent, by saying in Matthew chapter 25, verse 30, as follows, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Likewise, as God's children, we are to walk victoriously as the sheep of the Lord and not behave like the goats or the 5 foolish virgins that ultimately end up being winnowed or deleted from the Lamb Book of Life. So you see, my dearly beloved, there are many misconceptions and diluted gospels out there that teach the wrong doctrine by saying that once you believe in Jesus Christ and you do not need to repent of your sins, just be baptized, you will end up in eternity. Now that itself, my dearly beloved, are but the lies of Satan, and they have oversimplified the truth of the doctrine of Christ Jesus into something that is of the lie of Satan and totally far away from the truth of the Word of God. Now, in the meantime, we know that the unbelievers that are called the dead, simply because they are spiritually dead, and our Lord Jesus Christ described them as the dead when he said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 22, as follows, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." So you see, my dearly beloved, until unless one is born again of the Spirit of God, one is considered as dead in the sight of the Lord God. And all the spiritually dead, referring to unbelievers, or rather, not genuine born again believers, in the sight of the Lord God, whose names are not written in the Lamb Book of Life, will someday appear not in the judgment seat of Christ, but rather in the great white throne, as written in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 11, as follows, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So you can see right here, my dearly beloved, those whose names are not written in the Lamb book of life automatically would be judged in the great white throne, and ultimately, of course, all of them will be thrown into the lake of fire. But as for God's children, those genuinely born again of the Spirit of God, we will be judged in the judgment seat of Christ, whether we have done good or bad. Now, the Apostle Paul had instructed Timothy in verse 2 to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, the Amplified Bible in verse 2 writes as follows, herald and preach the word, keep your sense of urgency, stand by, be at hand and ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong, and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging, and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. So you see, my dearly beloved, as God's servant, we are instructed by the Apostle Paul to be very patient in terms of teaching and sharing the truth of the Word of God unto others, as well as in the church, preaching but the truth of the Word of God. Unfortunately, my dearly beloved, we are living in the very end times where many preachers are not doing what the Apostle Paul had instructed. Instead of preaching the truth and correcting their church members, many times they are out there trying to please people instead of bringing them unto the truth of the Word of God and telling them to repent of their sins. For that reason, the Apostle Paul already prophesied of what is happening in the last days in which we are currently living in right now. And so in verse 3, the Apostle Paul writes as follows, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And the Amplified Bible in verse 3 writes as follows, for the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instructions, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. Now, my dearly beloved, in these two verses, If you read in detail very carefully, that's exactly what happened in the days that we are currently living. And personally, as a preacher myself and as a missionary, I have bumped into some churches out there. As a matter of fact, last year, I was invited to preach in a church, and for some reason, they had made a mistake. And while I was about to preach, our translator had discovered that there was a mistake with the schedule, as they had invited a so-called preacher that do not hold no Bible in his hand and wearing a floral kind of shirt, looking more like a Hawaiian dancer than a preacher, and holding no Bible at the same time with a lot of ornamented bangles in his hand, to the point that if you look at him very carefully, you will discover that he looks much more like a comedian than a preacher. And I was shocked to discover that particular person was invited to preach in my shoes, and I had to leave that church and came back the next day to preach in another meeting. Now, my dearly beloved, when I saw that with my own eyes, I was so shocked to the point that it was difficult to believe that this is really happening, and the person was invited, instead of preaching the truth of the Word of God, he was invited to entertain the church members and to make them laugh instead of hearing the truth of the Word of God. And so, my dearly beloved, for that reason, when the Apostle Paul prophesied and had given Timothy of his warning, as written in verse 3 and 4, indeed, these warnings are now taking place in many churches today. As a matter of fact, one other preacher or pastor also told me that in many churches today, they would rather hire preachers that can make them laugh so that they can collect more money for the church than bringing them to Christ. Now, my dearly beloved, this is a very shocking as well as a sad scenario due to the fact that all of these practices of wrong teaching matches exactly when the Apostle Paul mentioned of the very fact that there come a time where they no longer endure sound doctrine or welcome sound doctrine, but rather prefer to heap to themselves quote-unquote teachers having itching ears in order to satisfy their own liking and lust, preferring to foster the errors that they hold in their mind than receiving the truth of the Word of God. And indeed, my dearly beloved, we are living in the days where the churches are no longer desiring preachers that preach the truth of the Word of God, the narrow path of the cross. They would rather go to a church where the social gospels are given and have fun and have a good time socializing in the church, as well as practicing the worldly functions and having fun in the church instead of worshiping the Lord God in spirit and in truth. For that reason, in verse 5, the Apostle Paul continued to warn Timothy to be very cautious, written as follows: But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, my dearly beloved, the final words that the Apostle Paul had given unto Timothy, apart from being watchful and bearing his cross, as well as performing all the duties of his ministry, the Apostle Paul also had given his last best words of encouragement unto Timothy, even though, keep in mind that this letter was written when he was about to be executed soon. And so you can see, my dearly beloved, that the Apostle Paul, who had finished the narrow path of the cross beautifully, had proclaimed to the finish line of the very fact that he had won the battle and fought the good fight of faith, as well as finished the course, declaring that indeed he was ready to receive a crown of righteousness from our Lord Jesus Christ. And so keep in mind, my dearly beloved, the Apostle Paul was a man of target. And when he journeyed along the path of the cross, he knew exactly what was his responsibilities, as well as the work of the Lord God that was given unto him in order to accomplish in his spiritual journey to the finish line, isn't it? It was crystal clear that the Apostle Paul was given the responsibility by our Lord Jesus Christ, being the apostle of the Gentiles, to bring the gospel of Christ Jesus unto the Gentiles so that the whole world would be able to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ through the works and the efforts of the Apostle Paul alone. For that reason, in verse 17, the Apostle Paul writes in this epistle as follows: "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." So you can see right here, my dearly beloved, how the Apostle Paul had labored unceasingly, neither days nor night, through thick and thin, as well as trials and tribulations, in order to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that you and I today would be able to receive the truth of the word of God, isn't it? Even at the expense of laying down his own life, which is what happened right here, that ultimately the Apostle Paul had to lay down his own life, being executed by King Nero for the sake of the gospel and in the name of Christ Jesus. However, keep in mind that the Apostle Paul knew very well that he had to be sacrificed in order someday to be able to reign together with our Lord Jesus Christ as a king. And my dearly beloved, these few verses are very precious to me personally, simply because I had always desired to be able to walk victoriously someday and claim at the end of the spiritual path of the cross, in the finish line, that I would be able, from my heart, proclaim what the Apostle Paul had written right here. Now, how about you? Do you feel the same weight like I do? So you see, my dearly beloved, I had always the desire to be able to journey victoriously like the Apostle Paul, and someday on my dying bed, I would like to be able to proclaim with a smile unto our Master the very words that the Apostle Paul had written here would be mine to say. That is, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. And obviously, I do not question that just as the Apostle Paul loved the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, I personally too would like to see him joyfully when I finish my course victoriously in the name of Jesus, isn't it? Now, unfortunately, there are many, many people out there, especially those who claim to be God's children, who would not be able to proclaim what the Apostle Paul had written in here, simply because many of them have decided to quit halfway through along the path of the cross, just like Demas in verse 10, that had forsaken the Apostle Paul, having loved this present world, isn't it? And that in itself is disastrous, due to the fact that someday they would have to pay the price of losing their eternal life, and ultimately, if they are born again, then they would be deleted, and if they're not born again, well, obviously, they would all be winnowed and thrown into the lake of fire anyway. What is sad for me to see would be those so-called false preachers that have walked as goats and sold our Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of money. And ultimately, even though they could, quote-unquote, spend time preaching, I can guarantee you that they would be deleted in the Lamb Book of Life, assuming they're born again, and whatever they have done, since they're not victorious, would all come to nothing. For that reason, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 5, our Lord Jesus Christ warned each and every one of God's children to be victorious, written as follows: He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now in Revelation chapter 2 verse 11, it writes as follows: He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So you see, my dearly beloved, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that I call the diamond gospel of Jesus Christ, as narrow and as hard or difficult as it is able to shine forth like a diamond. And we know that the diamond is the hardest rock that is able to drill down the ground in order to extract the oil, isn't it? And the diamond gospel of Jesus Christ is able to transform a sinner into a saint, just like the Apostle Paul, living a lifestyle of absolute victoriousness over sins as well as the world. And so anything that is less than the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I call the diamond gospel, The next one, that is a copy of the Diamond Gospel that looks very similar. I call it the Zirconia Gospel. And the Zirconia Gospel, as you know, looks pretty shiny, isn't it? Just like zirconia is also very shiny when you compare to the diamond, but it's much cheaper and it is man-made, obviously. And if you use in the place of diamond to drill down the ground, the zirconia will crack right away. Because zirconia, even though on the surface look very identical to the diamond, it does not have the power and the hardness of the diamond. And obviously it takes the eyes of the expert to be able to distinguish between a real diamond and the man-made diamond called zirconia, isn't it? But if you look at it very carefully under the microscope, of course, and many times it takes an expert to see instantly and distinguish that zirconia is but zirconia and it is not the real diamond. But nonetheless, it takes the truth of the word of God that is applied in our life, that as God's children, when we walk according to the narrow path of the cross, the diamond gospel of Christ Jesus is able to turn us from a sinner into a saint and victorious, just as I had mentioned earlier, over the power of darkness and over sin, as well as death. As you can see in here, how the Apostle Paul originally identified as Saul of Tarsus, who was but a persecutor and doing harm to the Christians, is now turned and repented through the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only to be a victorious saint, as well as the apostle of the Gentile, but ultimately lay down his life with absolute faith, as you can read his writings and the last epistle or letter to Timothy. In this particular letter, you can see that the apostle Paul was not filled with fear of death or trembling of the thought of being executed, but rather, on the contrary, he was so filled with the Holy Ghost and absolute faith and confidence to the point that he was able to encourage young Timothy to fight on and move on. And this particular letter is extremely touching to my heart and a very powerful letter to see the voice and the life of the risen Savior filling in the life of the Apostle Paul. And all of this transformation can only take place in the life of the Apostle Paul through the genuine gospel of Jesus Christ that I call the Diamond Gospel of Christ. Now, if you use the man-made gospel that I call Zirconia Gospel, it might look very similar and, of course, not as hard as the diamond, would be much more looser in terms of criteria, and you can do a lot of quote-unquote worldly things and do whatever you like to do and go to church and be baptized and every weekend come and hear the gospel and go home with no repentance, no changes, and obviously much wider than the narrow path of the cross. But I can tell you one thing, ultimately, it cannot transform you unto the image of our Lord Jesus Christ simply because it is not the true gospel of Christ. And under the pressure of death, I can guarantee you that you will be filled with a spirit of fear instead of absolute confidence and faith and peace and joy, isn't it? Keep in mind that it takes a supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to fill our heart, just like the five wise virgins that receive the flask of oil in order to shine in darkness. Now, my dearly beloved, if you refuse to crucify your flesh and your church did not teach you or mention about the crucifixions of your flesh, but rather give you the gospel of easy believism and make you laugh, and refuse to mention anything about sins or separating unto righteousness or obeying the Holy Spirit, then I can tell you one thing. What you've got is but the zirconia gospel instead of the truth of the Word of God. Now, sad to say, another false gospel that looks way off than the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I call it the glass gospel. Now, the glass itself, we know, is the cheapest quality and does not shine when compared to zirconia or the diamond, isn't it? And obviously, they crack much faster under pressure. And in the case of the glass gospel that some churches or many churches practice, what they tell you to do is just come to church and be baptized, and that's good enough, without repentance, to come and enter the kingdom of heaven, isn't it? And that, my dearly beloved, is but a gospel that is totally and absolutely the lie of Satan, and such gospel that include the social gospel of easy believism, or I call it Hollywood Christianity, that you can look and behave identical with the world with no changes, just slap on your body the name of Christ. And if you have in your mind such perception, then I'm afraid to say that you've got the wrong gospel, and what you practice is but religion. And so both the glass gospel and the zirconia gospels are practicing but religion or religiosity, and far from the truth of the narrow path of the cross and the diamond gospel, which is the genuine gospel of Christ Jesus. Verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Now, my dearly beloved, there are always these groups of people who would betray the genuine brotherhood in Christ Jesus, isn't it? In the case of Demas, he would prefer to forsake the Apostle Paul for the sake of the present world, just as I had mentioned earlier. And even in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ, Judas Iscariot also not only had forsaken our Lord Jesus Christ, but also betrayed and sold our Lord Jesus Christ for money. So the disciples is not greater than the master, just like our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned. And so if our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and in this case, Demas also had forsaken the Apostle Paul, it would not be surprising, as God's children, you will experience someday or along the line in life that someone whom you thought to be faithful end up forsaking you or betraying you, isn't it? As these groups of people had fallen into the trap of Satan, into the things of mammon, or the world. And until and unless one is truly born again of the Spirit of God and willing to crucify their flesh to the finish line, including laying their life for Christ Jesus, just like my spiritual teacher, Miss Esther Wong, she was imprisoned in China for 20 long years under the hand of the communists, just as the Apostle Paul was ready to die in the name of Jesus. Miss Esther Wong was also ready to die in the name of Jesus. And so until unless we are willing to crucify our old flesh and deny ourselves, there is no way we can finish our journey to the finish line, especially if our heart are filled with the love of the world, isn't it? For that reason, the Apostle John reminds us through his own words in the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 15, 16, and 17, written as follows. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So you see, my dearly beloved, these groups of people that have betrayed, whether our Lord Jesus Christ or the Apostle Paul, and in the case of my spiritual teacher, Miss Esther Wong, it was a young pastor who pretended to request for her help by praying with him, end up ultimately as the very spy for the communists and reported her case to the communists. These groups of people, even though they could be at one time a so-called believer, ultimately Satan had tempted them to lust after the things that are in the world. Just like Demas had forsaken the Apostle Paul, having loved this present world. Unfortunately, there are always these groups of people that would choose the broad way instead of the narrow way of the path of the cross, isn't it? But nonetheless, it is a pity to say that they have to pay the price of eternity in the lake of fire instead of eternity in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And just as our Lord Jesus Christ says, what if a man owns the whole world and loses his own soul? What's the point of getting the temporal and then being burned in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever without time limitation? That in itself is very scary, isn't it? Likewise, our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us not to fear those that kill the body and thereafter not able to kill our soul and our spirit, but rather we ought to fear those that kill the body and thereafter throw us down in hell and burn in the lake of fire. That we should really fear, and not just fear those that kill the body. And so you can see right here, the Apostle Paul was not even bothered about his final execution or physical death, but rather rejoiced, looking forward to meet our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, we've got a few names right here, including Prisca and Aquila, as well as the household of Onesiphorus. These are brethren that are faithful in Christ Jesus that have served the Apostle Paul, isn't it? And obviously, someday, these brethren that have served the Apostle Paul, just as our Lord Jesus Christ mentioned of the very fact that if you give a cup of water in the name of Jesus Christ unto one of the little ones, obviously, in the name of a disciple, they cannot but be rewarded someday, isn't it? As the Apostle Paul indeed is one of the little ones that also is a genuine servant of the living God, and as well as being the apostle and Christ's disciple. Nonetheless, I would like to conclude this last chapter of the second epistle of Paul to Timothy with the very precious words that the Apostle Paul had written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, that says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, my dearly beloved, these few verses that the Apostle Paul had written, indeed, is reflected in this last chapter that the Apostle Paul had written to Timothy, isn't it? Just as the Apostle Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And the Apostle Paul praised Jesus and thanked our Lord Jesus Christ for giving him the strength and the victory over death. And finally, my dearly beloved, I would like to share with you the last few verses that the Apostle Paul also had written in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, being my favorite verses that I have always deeply imprinted in my heart. And these verses are very precious personally for myself, and I'm sure it would be also for you, that ultimately the Apostle Paul had learned the highest spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit apart from charity is the absolute contentment in Christ Jesus, written as follows. Not that I speak in respect of one, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Indeed, my dearly beloved, the Apostle Paul had reached the highest spiritual level and experienced the power of absolute contentment without being disturbed, no matter what trials and tribulations, including death, that he had to face. So that, ultimately, the Apostle Paul claimed through his lips as well as in his life the mark of the victorious risen Savior that would usher him into eternity in Christ Jesus, isn't it? And likewise, these verses, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me, without question, is reflected in the last letter that he had written unto Timothy prior to his departure in eternity. Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you through his words today. May we never forget to take after the footstep of the Apostle Paul, who followed the footstep of our risen Savior, remembering always the words of the Apostle Paul that says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.